Yes Music Podcast, episode 56, the Yes Alphabet, E.
This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 56 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved with the podcast via the various ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. At Dave from Knoxville on Twitter sent me a link this week to one of the most remarkable YouTube videos I've ever seen. It's the band Circa playing a Yes chronological medley in 2007, which lasts for over 40 minutes. Quite how they managed to remember the music is beyond me. It's also a fabulous performance of the main aspects of a great deal of music you will recognise immediately. Circa, as I'm sure you probably know, consists of, at least on this live recording, Alan White on drums, Tony Kaye on keyboards, Billy Sherwood on lead vocals and bass, Jimmy Horn on guitars and vocals, and Scott Walton on additional guitars, and, just to bring a smile to your face, vocoder. The playing is nothing short of spectacular, and Ken Fuller tells me he witnessed this medley of 28 Yes songs. Lucky man. Yes themselves used to do a live medley, of course, but I think Steve Howe put a stop to that. Do make a point of listening to this performance. It's a massive blast of Yes fun from what has to be the ultimate Yes tribute band, or at least the best one since Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, Howe. Len Rice also got in touch this week with a link to a cover of Soon by Laura Casale. It's a beautiful interpretation and well worth a listen as well. Maybe it even adds weight to my controversial idea from a few weeks ago that the next lead singer of Yes should be female, if it can't be John Anderson. Assuming, of course, that John Davison is ever going to leave. I've put links to both of these videos in the show notes for this episode and on the YMP YouTube channel. I've still not been able to track down my interviewee, so we're returning to the Yes alphabet this week, and we've reached the letter E. Interestingly, there seem to be far fewer letter E's concerned with the band than the previous entries in the alphabet. Or perhaps you know differently. If you spot lots of letter E's I've missed, please do let me know. However, I do have a stack of 5 CDs beside me, all of which have tracks on them which begin with E. First of all, on the very first album, we have the Lennon and McCartney cover, Every Little Thing. As we know, Yes began life playing a mixture of their own songs and quite a few covers. When I was taking a look around the internet at those earliest days of the band, it became clear that most bands of the time played at least a few cover versions. So we have the opportunity to compare the live performances of tracks like America from various different bands who all frequented venues such as the Marquee in London around the same time. In fact, I've really enjoyed seeing some of the concert posters from the era in the various sources such as Dave Watkinson's book Perpetual Change. There's a programme from the Marquee in August 1968 which features Yes alongside some bands you might recognise. The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, The Nice, Jethro Tull, John Mayall's Bluesbreakers, and Joe Cocker, amongst others. Another fascinating event must have been the first German Blues Festival in October 1969, in which Yes had second billing to Fleetwood Mac, and were spelled out on the poster in larger letters than Free. 2 nights after Fleetwood Mac headlined, Nice, Pink Floyd, and Deep Purple shared the spotlight. Of course, this early activity culminated in the band's appearance at the Royal Albert Hall in London supporting Cream, as the first real supergroup played their farewell gig. What a time it must have been to have been a young rock fan. If you were there, please do let us know all about it. Anyway, back to Every Little Thing. As with all the Yes covers of the time, the band infuses the version with their own unique style and arrangement. As Tony Kaye said, they tried to make all the cover versions more instrumental, more orchestral. The original Beatles track is quite simple in arrangement, quite stripped down in instrumentation, not so the Yes version. The Yes cover is almost 3 times as long as the original and begins with a dramatic, somewhat heavy and quite elaborate instrumental introduction, complete with frenetic, complicated Bruford drumming improvisations and the rest of the band playing wild variations on the main theme of the song. It's a remarkably live-sounding maelstrom, which finally coalesces into the more peaceful section, over which Peter Banks plays the Day Tripper guitar riff. The vocal line is punctuated with quite brash instrumental interjections, as well as the carefully placed moments of rhythmical hiatus. If you look at the timings, the Beatles version finishes almost exactly where John Anderson starts singing in the Yes version. The vocal harmonies are quite true to the original, but the accompaniment is a world away. Peter Banks' solo guitar threatens to derail the performance with its raw energy, and there are several different sections punctuated by the verses and choruses. There is enormous invention and creativity from the band, which makes this less of a cover version and more of an elaboration and extension of the musical basis of the original. A micro-epic of extraordinary musical recreation. If you've forgotten how this track sounds, make a point of digging it out today. Crank the volume up and make sure you're sitting down to listen, as otherwise it might blow you off your feet. The second Letter E album track is Everydays from Time and a Word, and here we have a perfect example of what I was talking about last week. Another cover version, Everydays couldn't be more different to Every Little Thing, at its start at least. It's amazing what the band could do to vary their mood and approach. The original Buffalo Springfield version has a cool, relaxed feel, but sounds very different to this. Yes have once again really gone to town on the arrangement. Everydays begins with a jazz-influenced groove, led by the brushwork of Bill Bruford and the subtle keys of Tony Kaye. It's reminiscent of the original, but changes the feel quite considerably. There is a strange guitar noise in the Buffalo Springfield version, which might have sparked the Yes treatment, but in essence the original is a stripped-down, odd little song. As with most of the tracks on Time and a Word, the band have a full orchestra at their disposal, and cascading strings are added to this track before Anderson brings in one of the most relaxed performances of all time. Again, the timing is played around with, while the strings play pizzicato effects to create the aural picture. The backing vocals combine to produce a beautiful tone, and the unusual orchestral accompaniment leads to the bizarre, fast, loud section, with hi-hat underpinning a headlong dash by the band into a completely different soundscape, which veers dangerously towards insanity, before a riff is shared and a more secure rhythm is set up with the crazy solo figures, especially from Kay and Banks. Suddenly a squire bass lick flicks the listener back into the original mood, and Bruford's brushes begin once more to accompany a hoarse-sounding Anderson as he restates the original material. Not content just to fade away, there's a quick blast of the faster material, with squire flashing away to bring a climactic close. It's interesting to note that the early band seemed to have more freedom with arrangements when they were working with other people's material. Their cover versions are more elaborate, more fully developed, than most of their own songs. They seem to have found it easier to work from an existing piece of music and push it at times close to its breaking point than to take a step back and do the same with their own compositions. Perhaps that's one way the band's musical development could be analysed. Was it in the Yes album that they first managed to give their own ideas the same level of treatment as the cover versions? Was this the start of a new way of working which culminated in Tales from Topographic Oceans and Going for the One? Let me know what you think. The expanded and remastered version of Tomato has the next track beginning with the letter E, Everybody's Song, which is described as an early version of Does It Really Happen, which of course was to see the light of day on Drama. The start of the track is very much unfinished, with a bizarre squire bassline and sweeps of Howe guitar runs beneath tinkling percussion. Clearly there were lots of additional parts intended for this section which were never recorded. Eventually echoes of the Does It Really Happen bassline appear, but the music meanders until the real riff begins and the guitar appears with the recognisable hook. Anderson's vocal line is quite close to the Drama version, so it's fascinating to hear the timbre of his voice singing the part subsequently taken over by Trevor Horn. Quite a few of the lyrics are indistinct, as this is obviously a demo version of the song. Squire's bass line pumps out of the texture nicely, and the drums are nice and raw. Howe goes on a short improvisatory fantasy, and then it all gets really heavy and sounds like the band are having a party, rocking out. This track gives a bit of an insight into the studio process, and it's great to hear the creation of a Yes song in action. It reminds us that a lot of the Drama sound and approach were actually in place before the arrival of Downes and Horn, although, as I've said many times, they were crucial in revitalising the band. The next E track is on Union. It's the fragment called Evensong. This is a remarkable inclusion on Union, as it features Bill Bruford on electronic percussion and Tony Levin on bass. I know there are a lot of different musicians on Union, but this track only contains one official Yes man, alongside arguably the only other bass player most Yes fans would be happy to have in the band, if Chris Squire were ever to leave. Bruford is showcasing the melodic capabilities of the electronic kit of the time here, and the combination of Levin's lovely muted chordal line with the percussive theme is engaging, interesting and peaceful. I would have liked to have this track expanded into a proper piece for inclusion on Union, but it's a worthwhile diversion, and at least shows how a full Levin collaboration might have been, rather than the somewhat low-key work he did in most of the ABWH album. The final piece I can find for the letter E is from Talk, Endless Dream. This is one of the elements of Talk I like the most, as it blends the 80s pomp of 90125 and Big Generator with the classic progressive genetic inheritance of the band. For a start, it's split into three sections: A, Silent Spring, instrumental; B, Talk; and C, Endless Dream. So we're expecting a prog rock epic structure. Here's part of how I described it way back in episode 15. Tony K gets us underway with a repeated pattern, which is then interrupted by loud chords, which usher in a very progressive sounding sequence of loud, percussive, odd time signature full band playing. This opening part is only 1 minute 56 seconds long, but has within it more progressive rock elements than the rest of the album put together. There are runs on the guitar, massive contrasts, that odd time signature, and loads of passionate, fast, loud, virtuosic playing. This is 90s prog rock at its absolute best, and it sounds rather like this version of the band have suddenly remembered that they are a prog band and have reinvented the genre for the new decade, retaining the important features, but also adding the best of Yes from the 80s into the bubbling, irresistible mix. The track segues into the next section, B, Talk. This is the main section, with the A and C small bookends. The track Talk is certainly an epic in terms of scale, at 11 minutes 56 seconds, and it starts with an immediate direct contrast to the end of Silent Spring. K introduces Rabin vocals by the use of a quiet piano, and the voice is steeped in a dramatic effect which almost makes the lyrics inaudible. The voice passages are interspersed with short piano interludes, and the mood is quiet and peaceful with a graceful piano motif which emerges gradually. Then a more chordal passage introduces Anderson singing above some quite Rick Wakeman-esque piano work. Not only is it exquisitely beautiful, it also showcases the talents of the often underrated Tony Kaye. Anderson's line soars up into the stratosphere, and you know that something is going to happen. And it does. Rabin and the rest of the band erupt with a heavy motif, which points back towards the 80s power era, but because perhaps of what has gone before, it seems much more balanced, and so much more acceptable in a proper Yes piece. And in fact, it's soon replaced by a creative segment, where Rabin gets to play not only with the stereo fader, but also with his own guitar effects to produce a fun little sideshow. This then metamorphoses, with the addition of fragments of vocal harmonies and creative drumming, into another stadium rock guitar theme and huge Anderson-led chorus. But even this is broken down quickly, as a section of creative sound effects and musical snippets swirl around the listener. We are halfway through now, and the complexity of the track is beginning to become clear. K sets up an ostinato pattern and then another complementary one as the rest of the instrumentalists begin to get more and more agitated and restless until one of the main guitar themes reappears in triumphant and spine-tingling style. This is exactly what us die-hard Yes fans had been waiting for. It's pure order out of chaos, tension release stuff, like in the best of the classic albums. When this theme reappears, I defy any Yes fan to remain unmoved. It's an amazing moment. Definitely one of my Yes champagne moments. That catchy strong chorus comes in again with Anderson elaborating vocals above, and then joining in with the others for So Take Your Time. This could easily be the chorus of a mediocre Yes song, but it's been wrapped in a gilt-edged progressive structure and given the superb production and arrangement that it needs to elevate it to what we all know and love about Yes. After this triumph, we segue into the final section, C, Endless Dream. It's rather more of an epilogue than a new section, but calmly brings the piece and the album to a close, with some recapitulation of the material and a bit of improvised-sounding keyboard work. Once again, I'm finding myself exhausted at the end of a Yes epic, and that's exactly what I want to be. It was great to hear the band back on form in 1994. So, what else about Yes can be encapsulated by the letter E? Well, I'm going to finish with E for Envy. I'm not referring to all those bands who wish they could be as progressive, epic, genre-defining, soul-feeding, creative, diverse, eclectic, inspiring, emotionally draining and dysfunctional as Yes, but to the power of Envy in the development of the band. In the early days, the band members have mentioned in interviews that they were often worried that they were going to be eclipsed by other bands. King Crimson was mentioned. Yes saw what King Crimson were doing and knew they had to respond to keep up with the development of progressive music, which KC were producing. After all, the members of Yes are all human. I wonder how they felt when Bill Bruford left and started creating remarkable sounds alongside Robert Fripp and the others. If we wanted to be more politically correct, we could refer not to envy, but to challenge. When the young band saw others performing elaborate cover versions of songs like America, they resolved to produce more elaborate, more complicated, longer and more orchestral arrangements. Relayer, and especially Sound Chaser, has often been labelled as Yes's response to the musical direction of the Mahavishnu Orchestra. I think it's much more than just an attempt to play as fast and as complicated parts as that group, but I can see why this has been suggested. Without this impetus to outdo the opposition, perhaps we would not now have a lot of the Yes music we can enjoy today. If you think of the times when there have been two opposing Yes camps, you can bet that they were trying to produce better music than each other. And the same could be said of each time the band has reinvented itself. Drama, Union, 90125, Open Your Eyes, Magnification, Keys to Ascension, The Ladder, Fly From Here. Each time the new group of musicians has been simultaneously looking back to the previous incarnation and trying to create a better record. To return to my theme, they are envious of past glories and hope to equal or preferably exceed them. I suppose that's what this part of the human condition is all about. Without the desire to create better, more glorious works of art, we would surely just give up. And that spirit, combined with the greatest set of rock musicians of all time, is what has built the wondrous story of Yes music that we all love today. So that's about it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Just before I go, please remember that if you are listening to this episode in 2012 and you'd like to show your support for the show, please vote in the European Podcasts Awards by visiting bit.ly/voteYMP, all one word. That's bit.ly/voteYMP, all one word. Also, for those of you who access the YMP website on a mobile device, you may notice that it looks different. This is because I've added a new plugin to the site, which converts it, so it displays better on smartphones and other small devices. If you don't like the new look, you can always switch it off, but I hope it's helpful. I'll be back next week, but in the meantime, please do get involved by subscribing to the podcast via RSS, iTunes, Stitcher.com, or the new Apple Podcasts app, at yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can leave a comment on the blog. You can send a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter. You can send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload an audio file or record a voice message via the buttons on the site, or leave a more voicemail on 0844-579-6949 using the mailbox number 39417. And finally, you'll see that there's a brand new contact form added to the website. There's a link on the right-hand side to that if you want to use that instead. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes. Thank you.